welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Arcus.
And a lot of news to go through and a lot of events going on.
Yes.
Our first, of course, is Tech Ed Europe and Brian Keller, Larry Larson,
Janine,
and Mark DeFalco, yeah. J-Wiz, as we like to call her, got to do Kinect demos to warm up the crowd. So they are working real hard.
I know.
And Europe.
Look at him. He's showing so much skin.
It's embarrassing. Embarrassing. He doesn't have time for this show, but, you know, it's fine. Now, Keller did some sessions, right?
He didn't just do some. He did five.
Okay.
Five
so Keller's
sessions.
Actually working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Or at least one day.
Yeah. And speaking of Tech Ed sessions, you can go on to TechEd and get the Europe sessions now. Most of them are available currently. The rest will follow, as with any of our events nowadays.
A
couple days. We'll have them posted.
Cool stuff, and kudos to Nick, who has been doing a great job encoding this stuff, and, of course, Daniel Krenna. SQL Server Denali was announced at another conference, SQL Pass. So SQL Server Denali is the next version of SQL Server. It's got a lot of features and probably too much to go through. We should probably do some Channel 9 videos and get a deep dive on a lot of these. So just to rattle off a couple, and we'll go through some of them specifically. They announced they have their massively parallel data warehousing stuff. They have, on the BI side, they have some new BI tools to look at that data. So Project Crescent. So you can only watch it in the keynote, and you have to register it for the keynote. So we should probably get a separate demo. But what that allows you to do is visualize data from a BI warehouse. Ways that you weren't able to do before, and it's all web-based as well. A lot of improvements to making sure that SQL Server just works, and reliability with SQL Server always on. And column-based query accelerator was another one, at least from a programmability perspective, and just talking about some of the other ones for developers.
Yep.
SQL Management Studio.
So the nice thing is since it's built on top of the Visual Studio 2010 code base, it allows you to you get a lot of the 2010 improvements
for free,
and then you also they added in stuff like code snippets. So now you can do surround with begin and if and stuff like that to make life easier as a developer.
Yeah, absolutely. So it includes, you know, colorization and all the wonderful features that we're used to, an improved object browser. The big one, of course, is multi-monitor support.
Oh, yeah.
Which you gotta absolutely love. So a lot of cool stuff in just the day-to-day tools people use. And the other big one now, so we have Denali, we have Crescent. And then we have Atlanta. So Atlanta is a cloud service. These are code names, by the way. Cloud service that looks at how you've configured SQL Server and lets you know whether you've configured it correctly, lets you analyzes for things like performance bottlenecks, for downtime, for simplifying your configuration, and so forth. So
let's say I did a mistake of having like my log file and the database on the same hard drive, it would be like, whoa, hey, dude, you need to switch this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those are simple little things that, you know, if you do it enough, you're eventually going to screw up, and it's one of those tools that will help catch this.
Yeah, so a lot of cool stuff there. You should definitely check it out. I kind of want to play with this and just point it to a database and see what it tells me to do. So, interesting stuff, and really an interesting area where you can have some cloud services where you have on-premise your databases, but the cloud service acts as a reliability monitor.
Yep.
It could maybe send text messages, but everything's in the cloud. So it's also backed up.
Yeah.
And
it kind of reminds me
versioning,
of
you can imagine.
It's like the SQL server version of Intune, almost.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good way, and I really think this is just, like I said, just scratching the surface of what's possible, and there's a lot of cool ideas.
Well, to me, I can see them expanding on it. We know nothing
about this, by the way. We're just, you know, speculating on future ideas.
To me, the cool thing is I'm not an expert in setting up SQL at all, and this will be that's one of my biggest fears, is always misconfiguring it,
mm-hmm.
and this would be one of the nice safeguards
So I shouldn't be using SA as a user account? Son of a... Yeah. So, cool
Twinkies
stuff.
Twinkies isn't a good password?
Twinkies is good, actually. What are we talking about here?
So...
Back to Brian Keller.
Back to Brian Keller. Actually, no. This is back to Scott Guthrie and Phil Hack with ASP/NBC number 3 release candidate.
Yes.
And what some of the things that it brings is Razer as a view engine.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm blanking on the rest.
Output caching.
Output caching. There's JavaScript validation.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the other features that we've talked about on previous shows, yep. like the new model keyword and so forth. The big one to me is the Razer IntelliSense. It includes support for HTML helpers, which is really nice. So, cool stuff. Definitely check out Scott's blog, and you can start playing around with MVC 3 RC.
That's a mouthful.
Exactly. Say it as slowly as possible. So, Phil Hack has a great blog post, and I always love these, which is dissecting something that happened in the real world when they were building an application. Simple line of code that basically walks up to an assembly and gets the current version. It works on my machine, right?
Yeah.
Just works. But the problem is when they were going to go test that assembly deployed in the GAC, it wouldn't work. And what was actually happening is Phil walks through step by step why it didn't work, but what was happening is it needed to get the executing assembly with which one of the permissions it required using Reflector was to get the current working directory. The current working directory for a GAC assembly is C:\Windows Assembly, which using in medium trust, it didn't have permissions for. So, very interesting take on things that you should know about in terms of moving between GAC and really how to dissect problems like this. So, cool stuff.
Windows Phone 7 now has their marketplace open for general submissions. That means you, if you have a dev account, I have a dev account, we now can, anyone can enter stuff. Turnaround times is still typically on most apps is about a day. Mm-hmm. I've gotten responses back in a couple hours saying approved, denied. I've been very, very happy with the error reporting that they'll give you too if it does get denied. Mm. They'll be like, I did this, and this was exactly what happened. And you're like, oh. And you pretty much instantly know what failed and why it failed.
Cool.
So, but before you submit, I highly suggest you actually go and check out the regulations so then you don't have to resubmit. It goes through the first time.
Good points. And speaking of apps, one of the examples that was posted recently on Code Project was a Netflix browser sample. So this browser sample basically walks through using Panorama, Pivot, and OData. So it's kind of a really interesting walkthrough if you're looking to use the Netflix OData service.
Yep.
Here's a way to use these controls that maybe you haven't used before. And related to this, Ed Keim, our friend, is actually doing a series, a three-part series on cloud. Phone, I think, is one, and Visual Studio 2010 for Code Project. So if you're looking for videos, and I think those are next week, if I remember correctly, we'll have the exact schedule.
Okay.
It's a series of videos that walk you through how to use them, and they have some other crazy stuff like iPhone. Yeah, exactly. Definitely check those out, especially if you're looking for videos and stuff.
Okay.
Since we talked about OData, how do you use OData in LightSwitch?
So this is a step-by-step
LightSwitch blog.
LightSwitch blog goes through how to build an OData wrapper for LightSwitch. For those that don't know what LightSwitch is, it's the how would you actually say what LightSwitch is?
It's a tool for really fast forms over data apps.
Okay.
So web-based forms over data.
There we go.
You have to write code for this, but it does work.
Yeah. And it eventually, to do more complex stuff, you eventually have to do code. So this...
I want to live in my bubble, my wizard bubble. I think this is a
level 20 wizard bubble.
A level 20 wizard would never cause a bubble when he can insta freeze.
So you were saying?
We got a laugh out of Michael. That was good. That was good. Rare. He was probably watching YouTube. The OData. Yeah, so I really could see this being an extension to Lightswitch to have an OData wizard.
Yep. Yep.
So that was my point. Okay. So Instant Feature Builder. Michael Lehman and team go through some of the stuff, and the nice thing is the Instant Feature Builder, and you kind of need to see this in action. Think of it as a way, like, when you file a new project, and it's like a template, it's like a guiding template that walks you through how to do certain stuff. So it can do Visual Studio macros, and this is one that Ron Jacobs had done. He had sent it around a while ago internally when he was building it, but it actually includes the step-by-step of a hands-on lab, all the detail of the hands-on lab, and it can even do things like within there, do automation of things like, okay. You know, click here to copy this code snippet to the clipboard, and then you could, for example, paste it.
Okay.
So, Instant Feature Builder is available as a CodePlex project. So, if you're, for example, building hands-on labs, or you wanted somebody to walk through your NuGet example of your library, then this may be a good example.
Yeah.
Good way to do it.
The wonders of Visual Studio 2010 help.
Now, we did talk about this last time, right? With Jaime's fix to do the offline browsing. I think we talked about that. This is kind of like the three-part series on what happened with Visual Studio 2010 help and what they were trying to do. Does give a shout-out to April Regan, who had done a lot of the planning and thinking for this stuff, and it seemed like there was a lot of large galvanization around, man, we really need to fix help. And some of the things that they've gotten a lot of feedback, I'd say negative or constructive feedback on help.
There's never negative feedback. It's always constructive.
Constructive feedback. Yes, exactly. Get off my lawn. That's constructive. So they have a sneak preview of Service Pack 1, the help viewer changes that they're doing. So folks should definitely check that out so you can see how help is changing in the future. Now, we've talked about PEX for fun.
Yep. And this is Rise for Fun. So this is as a conglomeration of all the projects that then allows you to run them all. And it has nice web-based IntelliSense and stuff like that, where it lets you show... check out a bunch of the crazy stuff research is doing.
Without having to download a DLL, run a setup, blah, blah, blah.
And go in and run this command prompt and this, and copy this to your GAC and this into this. So, it helps test, play with some of the upcoming latest and greatest toys that we're building in the web.
Without formatting your drive.
Oh, yeah, or spinning up a new VM.
And kudos, to the team for taking the PEX for Fun concept and applying it to all of these, because, people didn't even have access or even know about some of these features. Like,
Z3.
Boogie? Boogie didn't know about code contracts, big fan.
Fine.
PEX and Rex I knew, SpecSharp I knew. Yeah, I got to play with some of these.
Yeah.
Busy weekend. Okay. Picks of the week.
Picks of the week. So this is being born in November. I'm partially fond of repeating numbers and the number 11. So this is, today, because we film on Thursdays, air on Fridays, it's, we had 11-11-11 on 11-11.
Mm-hmm. At 11-11-11, 11-11-11 ticks.
Yes.
You can do, constantly repeating. And it's important to point out that your birthday is tomorrow. Speaking of birthdays,
I know.
Clint turns 17?
Many people say I act like a 7-year-old though, so.
Yeah. I chew like a 5-year-old, so it's all good. And my pick, courtesy of Jeff Sandquist, is the Symphony of Science. So this is, think of it as remixed nerdy science people with auto-tune love.
Nice.
Maybe that's the right way to say it. You kind of have to watch it to get the full effect, but they get to talk about all the wonderful things that happen in the universe or with the science in general.
Who doesn't like auto-tune?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, It would be funny to just, what is the most inappropriate thing to auto-tune? That is the real question. So, clearly not science lectures. So, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you... Okay. See, we have to remix that. So, with that, though, that will end our show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, and enjoy, everyone.